Hi, and welcome to Gary England's Last Dorm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here to talk about the upcoming game against the Los Angeles Clippers. It's our second game against the Clippers, so we have a lot that we can practice because we only played them yesterday.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We had a really rough start in the beginning of the game, but our guys pulled together and they proved that they can play against the Clippers. Right down to the end of the game, it was really nice to see how we were able to come back and fight the very last second of the game.
Well, we're excited to be here with you. We promise you guys a surprise. We'll get started with that. Well, Dave, we are off to a rocket start. It's unbelievable how fast we have already made an impact in the Oklahoma City Thunder community. Our voices are being heard, and there are some ways that it's easy to see how much people are hearing us. And one of those ways that we're so excited to talk about today is the fact that we just hit 1,000 downloads today. That, I mean, it's unbelievable. And think about this. We haven't even been doing this for 1 month. Okay. 1 week ago, we hit our 500th download. And today we're sitting here and we're in a spot where we just passed 1,000 downloads. And it's just awesome to, and it's something I want to say thank you to everybody listening, everybody who's downloaded us, everybody who's told a friend about us, because, you know, we showed up and we didn't have anything but our cell phones and a lot of spirit, and we had a lot of shit to talk, and people listened and they responded and they talked back, and now we're sitting here and we have mad downloads, man. What do you got to say, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, what can you say? We came to the party late. We were behind the game. We have shitty cell phones. We have shitty speakers. We have shitty equipment. But we've been able to turn this around because of the way that we talk about the Thunder, because of our love and passion towards the Thunder. And I just want to say thank you to all of our listeners out there. We've got some great ones right now. We had a Stephen Dolan, who has been continuously keeping in touch with us, throwing some questions out there. This guy is awesome. He called us out on one of the questions one of the things that we said on the last episode, and I'd like to take a second to address that. He asked about the article that Brian Windhorst wrote that I addressed on the last episode. If you don't remember what I said, please go back and listen to our last podcast, and you'll be able to hear it. He asked about the offer, the article about the offer that Sam received that Brian Windhorst wrote. I've been looking for that article all morning. I've been listening to Brian's podcast from earlier than November. I still can't find at all where he said it. I'm starting to wonder if I misread something, or because of all the trades that were going on, I took a George Hill trade and offer that was made to the Milwaukee Bucks, and I could have mixed it up. So, way to look out. Steven, I really appreciate you calling the bullshit out when you saw it. I still don't know if it's bullshit or not, but I'm going to still look for it because this is the type of stuff that we like from our listeners.
Right. We appreciate the interaction. We appreciate him taking the time to research it, and we'll continue to look for it. And if we find anything, you know, along those lines, we'll let you know. But at this point, we're just going to go ahead and call it for what it seems like, which was basically getting confused with a couple of older articles and different things like that. No big deal. You know, in the end, George Hill is obviously worth a first round pick. The question that you mentioned was he worth a first and a second? And that's still to be determined. If you look at what Sam Presti was able to pull for Steven Adams. You know, everybody said, oh, he should just take a first-round pick, or they didn't think he could even get that, but he got a haul for Steven Adams that included George Hill, a first-round pick, and multiple second-round picks. And I do believe that George Hill is more valuable in today's NBA than Steven Adams. So I think Sam Presti is going to extract an immense amount of value, and I have no doubt that if he was offered what we just mentioned, he would turn that down because of what George provides the young players, especially SGA, in this time. He's not as vocal and he's not as ball dominant as Chris Paul, but his ability to lead this team is unquestionable, and he's already demonstrated that leadership in the halftime of that Bulls game where he led the charge and became a coach and really got the troops riled up and helped lead that comeback.
Yeah, you mentioned something really big about that, about the Bulls game and the comeback. You said he was a coach. I would like to say that I feel like he was more of a floor general. He took over the game. He told the guys what they needed to do. He was able to motivate them, and that's something that we love to see in our floor general day in and day out, and it's why George Hill is still on this basketball team.
Right, he has a spot anywhere he's willing to show that type of leadership, and a lot of people thought he wouldn't want to come to Oklahoma City. In fact, it seems like every time a player comes to Oklahoma City, everybody assumes that he doesn't want to be there. But in the end, I think George Hill and Al Horford are grateful for the opportunities because they really like playing with young players who are willing to learn and willing to listen. And you can tell because they're willing to talk. And nobody likes to talk to people that aren't listening. And if you're as established as George Hill is and you come into a locker room and they're not paying attention, then you're not going to spend any effort trying to get them to. And so I just feel like George Hill is giving back because of what he's getting. And obviously we love George Hill. Our goal was not just to spend all this time talking about George Hill, but it does relate to the foundation of what we have here, which is the first, the only 100% anti-tanking podcast for the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's right. If you want to listen to anybody talk about tanking, go somewhere else, because we have one thing to say about tanking. Tanking is the only four-letter word on this podcast. Tank. Get rid of it. Get it out of your vocabulary. It's what losers talk about. And if you're listening this long, I assume that you're not a loser. So if anybody you know is running around saying tank, treat it like a four-letter word and call it out and say it's inappropriate to say that word in public. We don't talk like that about our city, about our team, about our general manager, about our players, about our coach. So get the fuck out of here with that shit.
Yeah, leave the tank at home. And we definitely hate the word tank. We hate the way it makes our teams look and how our coaches look and how our GM looks. So please just drop that whole word. So let's, Mark, let's get into some of the stats that we've noticed in the last few games that we've started circling and we, you know, wanted to mention on the show, but we've just been waiting for the right time. So one of the things that we've both noticed is that we're in the top five in three-point shots a game. We are actually fourth right now. We're shooting just under 40 a game. We're shooting 39.7. The crazy thing is about this is, Mark, how many wins do we have? Six?
Yes.
We have six wins. Have any of them been at home?
Well, I think, yeah, we did. We got one against the Bulls.
That was against the Bulls at home. That was the only win that we've had. So we've had five wins on the road. Now, here's a stat that's really crazy about this. We are averaging 37 three-pointers a game at home. 37 three-point shots at home. Away, where we have won more games away, we have won five versus one at home, we are shooting 41 three-pointers a game away. And I think that's a direct correlation to what Coach is trying to do and trying to teach the guys. I think there's a definite confidence we're shooting on the road that obviously we haven't seen shooting at home yet. What do you think, Mark?
Right. I think you're right. I think that shot is going to be a key to this offense and to the team's future. Having everybody be able to attack the three-point line is really critical for any team in the modern NBA, but especially a team that you're hoping will lead you into the future of the NBA, you really need to have that option. And so when I look at it, you know, year over year, we're shooting 30% more three-pointers than we were last year, right? 30% more is quite a bit, right? But you would think that with that would be a correlating drop in quality of those shots, right? But it's not. We are shooting 0.025% less effectively from three-point land than we were. So think about that. 0.25% is all we're shooting less in quality, but we're shooting 30% more. So how many more points are we getting from that shot? And that is, in a lot of ways, why we're staying in these games and why we're able to compete when we can, is because when that shot is going, then we're in games.
One of the things that Mark and I would like to do is talk about the minutes that each of these players are playing and how young our core is, and the majority of the minutes that are being played are by the guys that are under 23 years of age. So we have Shea, he's 22 years old, and he's been playing the most minutes of the year this year. Darius Bazley, he is 20 years old, and he has played the second most minutes, which is incredible to see because this guy, Mark and I, are incredibly excited about. Okay, then we have Dort. Dort is 21 years old, and he has played the third most minutes, barely under Bazley, which is nice to see because he is definitely balling right now. Fourth, we have George Hill. George Hill is playing incredibly well. He actually has missed one game, so that probably hurt his minutes just slightly. After that, we have Hami. Hami is 22 years old, and he is coming in at fifth. Now, the person that I would like to highlight and circle here is Maladone. Maladone is our sixth most minutes in the entire season. He is 19 years old, and he is playing incredibly well. As you've heard, Mark and I have talked about this kid on and off the entire season. We love this kid. We think that he's going to be a major piece to our redrafting of a team. This guy is going to be exciting to watch in the future.
Right, and as far as Teo goes, like right now, this is from before the game last night, but he had 260 minutes, and he was 90th in assists, in total assists. And if you compare that to John Wall, who's played 237 minutes, he outranks him. Also, Corey Joseph, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, Sexton, Jimmy Butler, and Lou Williams. So Théo Maledon has got more assists than all of those players, established players. And yes, he does it in a very quiet way, and we're still learning how to appreciate his game and really watch him. But let's not sleep on Théo, a 19-year-old who's averaging more assists than John Wall. I'm sorry. A 19-year-old who has more assists than John Wall at this point, and they have similar amount of total minutes. That's something to notice. Also, let's talk about our defense with Bazley and Poku, okay? Both of them have been excellent shot blockers. And if you look at some of the players that they are in front of and block shots, they're in front of Bam, Dwight Howard, and Jonas Valanciunas. Now, that's not something I saw coming into the season.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, too, that you brought this up because they really have been playing two completely different positions. You see Bazley more out in the wing guarding a wing player, small forward slash shooting guard. He is out there all the time, whether he's playing LeBron or whoever else. He's out on the perimeter. And Poku, the majority of the minutes that he's been playing are in the inside. So these guys are doing incredible jobs at playing defense at different positions. Even though they are both power forwards, this is exciting stuff, guys.
Right, and also I want to bring up Isaiah Roby and his total rebounds. He's ranked 156th, but that puts him in front of Karl-Anthony Towns and Draymond Green. And Towns has played about 40 minutes less than Roby, and Green has played about 40 minutes more than Roby. So in the end, if you're looking at it, Roby has found a way to impact the games, and it's extremely fun to watch him get an offensive rebound.
Yeah, Isaiah Roby has really, really changed how we look at small forwards and power forwards in the NBA. The way that Coach D has consistently been able to play Roby at the five or at the center position is really exciting. I really got excited the other day when he was playing against Joka. Again, you know, he didn't do necessarily an amazing job at defense, but this is the type of people, or this is the type of team that we love to see our young guys play against, because it gives us a really good idea of how far they've come and how far they're going to come. Because watching Roby the other night, watching Roby last night, watching Roby 3 nights ago, he has been improving every single game. This kid is a straight-up hustler. He has proven that he deserves minutes. And when Al's been gone, he has stepped up in such a way that is incredibly impressive to watch.
Right, and I want to talk a little bit more about our scoring now. SGA is 34th in the league in total points scored. Dort is 89th. Hami is 127th, and Bazley is 136th. So if you want to put that into perspective a little bit, Seth Curry is 137th. Russ and Steven Adams are both tied at 138. So all of those players have scored more points than those guys. And I know it doesn't show out in the averages because of games missed, but I think, you know, availability is definitely an important skill. And we've had that with our youth. And some of those older players haven't necessarily been all the way available.
Yeah, you brought up a really good point there, Mark. You know, it's one of those things that we haven't seen Al really step up and score the type of points that we're used to him putting up on the board. We haven't seen Al in the last, was it five games now, play defense. So for me, looking at it, I do believe that this team is not to the full potential. This team isn't, we're missing obviously a major piece to this team right now. Al is this team. And the aspect of after SGA, he's going to be our second to go to score this season, and we just have been missing him out. So I'm really excited to see when Al comes back, how this team surrounds him, how this team is able to be inspired by him, and how we're able to play. Because I think it's obvious that we've missed Al. I think it's obvious playing against Denver, we missed Al. I think it's obvious that we missed Al when we played against the Clippers last night. And these are top-end teams in the league, so it's really rough to watch as these guys are trying to figure out where they belong, how they belong, and especially because we've been talking about Roby, he's playing a position that he hasn't played since college. So this is really exciting stuff as we get going.
Right, and there's something else I wanted to point out. Total three-pointers made. Dort is 36th in the league. SGA is 83rd. Bazley and Hill are tied at 126th. And Teo Maledon is sitting at 160th. And to give you some perspective, that's all in front of AD, Avery Bradley, Reggie Jackson, Serge Ibaka, Anthony Simon, and Lou Williams. On top of that, CP3 is also behind those players in total three-pointers made. So that's something to keep in mind. I mean, this is not a tank team, because these players are competing and they really want to play and they want to earn the minutes that they're getting, and they're proving that it's a good investment to give them those minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the way that coach has put trust in these guys, that he is consistently, if they're having an off night shooting, he pulls them aside, he tells them to keep shooting. Like, this is the type of stuff that we love to see with young players trying to develop their game into more of an NBA-ready basketball game. Whether it's Kenny Hustle getting out there and playing six hard minutes and coach being able to point to him, to the guys, and saying, look how Kenny's playing. This is how you guys need to play. And if you watch the bench, that's exactly what he's doing. He'll kneel down next to an assistant coach, and he'll mention something about one of the players doing something great, and then you can see it being passed down the bench. To me, this is exactly the type of style that we love to see. This is the exact style that we love to be able to absorb. And I really believe that this is the way that the Thunder are going to continue to play throughout the season.
Right, and I have a little clip here I want to share with everybody of Coach just talking about the benefits of having a back-to-back against the same team. I know they have a day off in between, but that's even more beneficial because of their desire to compete and their desire to learn about this league and how to get better at playing the different teams. So I'm going to go ahead and play that right now.
I mean, we like any opportunity to learn, and you know, part of learning for our team is learning the league, because the league is pretty stable every year. You know, like Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, these guys have been high level players for a long time, and they'll continue to be for a long time. And so, you know, we get to learn these opponents, and being able to turn around and play them again on Sunday gives us an opportunity to carry that over. And I think our team's handled that well so far this year, from Chicago in the preseason to Orlando to New Orleans. So I think we've kind of taken small steps forward when we've played a similar opponent in a short turnaround. And, you know, that's our challenge again on Sunday, is to learn the lessons from this game and carry them into Sunday and see if we can throw a better punch.
All right. Well, I really appreciate Coach's perspective, his leadership, and his ability to break it down for the players, especially the young players, and utilize the veterans to help the players be successful, because that's what this organization is all about, is helping these players be successful. And let's face it, when you tank, you don't really care if the players on the court are successful, and we're not tanking because we care. We make sure that they have the support system that they need. And so coming into this game too, I expect more energy like we saw in the second half. I expect that in the first half. I also expect improvements on our rebounding. I heard Coach talk after the game about our rebounding and our lack of ability to get the offensive or the defensive rebound and give up the offensive rebound to the Clippers in the first half, and how in the second half we approached the game with more of a gang rebounding mentality. And that's what it takes against a team that's bigger than you and has really good rebounders like the Clippers do. So I really appreciate him talking about that. I know that that's going to be a point of emphasis, the rebounding and the energy. What do you think that we're going to come out and adjust?
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I think that rebounding is going to be on the top of his list. I think also getting them to pass the ball outside of the post. So when they pass it in, I think collapsing down and trying to get them to pass out will be successful, as we saw in the third quarter of last night's game. I think this team, the way that they have been able to make their adjustments to make huge benefits in every single game is incredible to watch. I think the same thing is going to happen tomorrow night when we play against the Clippers. You'll see what Coach talked about in the interview that Mark just played, and you'll see how these guys are going to respond to having a coach that really, really connects with them and is teaching them the basics and really working on the number one thing that we love to say out here is player development. These guys are developing in a major way, and it's what is exciting for us is because we don't know who's going to be on the team in 2 years, but we really hope that every single one of these guys are still on this team in 2 years.
Absolutely. And I know that we have a lot of picks coming in, and so there's going to be fluctuation with the team, and we understand that. But it's not our job to decide which players aren't going to be on the team. And while they're here, if they do happen to wear that uniform, we are going to cheer for them every single time. And they're going to have warm memories based on the fact that they went out there and they were cheered for. And like we talked about last time, Kenny Hustle, the way he demonstrates it, he puts it all on the line. He reminds me a lot of another guy that was a fan favorite in Oklahoma City, Chris Anderson. And he was beloved in the city. He really would just fly around, the Birdman, right? He would fly around everywhere and just, you know, get put back dunks and all energy. And I really appreciated him, and I still appreciate what he put into, you know, every game. And it was really fun to watch him. And I feel the same way about Kenny Anderson. And he, like you love to say, like I love to say, he represents the city in the way that the city should be proud of. Hardworking, lay it all on the line, do whatever it takes to win. That's what we love about this, and that's what we love about this team. And so we're excited about watching this game. We're excited about watching this road trip. You know, it's going to be a difficult one. There's going to be a lot of bumps and along the road, and it's going to be, you know, this is our third game. It's a 5-game road trip. So, you know, it was definitely something that when you looked at, it was like, hey, this is going to be good if we can get one win out of this. But I feel like, you know, not everything is all about wins and losses. Like Coach always says, it's about the process. It's about improvement. It's about getting better every day. And it's about your approach. And I love the approach this team brings every day.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. One thing I would love to highlight right now is one of the things that you and I were talking about before yesterday's game. We both were really excited to see how SGA would do with the team being his team, going back to L.A., and playing as the main guy. It was really exciting to see how he took the team and put him on his back. He scored 30 points and 8 assists last night. I really felt encouraged by the way that he stepped up, and he proved that he is continuing continuously getting better. He is going to continue to be the man for the Oklahoma City Thunder for a very, very, very long time. And it's exciting to Mark and I because we look at him as the next MVP caliber type player that are playing for the Storm, or MVP type caliber player that is playing for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Right. And if you listen to anybody who says that he doesn't have what it takes to be an MVP, just remember these were the same people who said Russ would never be an MVP. Right. It's not about haters. There's just always going to be haters and doubters. Right. It's about being able to look toward the future. It's about being able to predict what's going to happen next. It's not necessarily about saying what somebody can't do. It's about recognizing unrecognized talent and unrecognized ability. And that's what we're about. We're about looking at this team and saying, you know, where will these players be? And not necessarily where are they now? And when you look at what we have an awesome team, you know, and I hope that everybody who is listening to us really appreciates how special this moment is, because this is the second time that we've been able to watch a super young team develop right in front of our eyes. And this time we're not missing it. This time we're paying attention to every single second, you know. And last time I always, like I mentioned before, I always regretted not going to more games that first year when we were losing all those games. But, you know, after losing the Hornets, it was hard to adjust to the new team, but I wish I had. And this is my way of making up for it. You know, this is a new, young team that has all the makings of a serious playoff contender. You know, I can't say if they're going to have what it takes to win a championship, but I can say that Sam Presti has historic draft capital, and he is willing to use all of it to put us in a position to win. So I'm going to watch. I'm going to go along for the ride. Whatever happens, happens. If we win a championship, you know, I'm going to be the most ecstatic person in the whole world. But I understand that this is about taking time to build it the right way. And I've talked about this before, but the difference in between building, you know, a clock and being a time teller is important. You know, if you can just tell time, like the Three Stooges, they walk around and they just say, oh, this is what's going on. This is what's going on. This is what's going on. Right. But if you can build a clock, it has staying power. It can last long after you're gone. And that's what Sam Presti is building for the community of Oklahoma City, for the state of Oklahoma. He's building us a clock, something that will last long after he leaves, something that has staying power, something that is able to regenerate and regrow and to handle the transition without necessarily having to have him stand there and watch over all the time. He's giving us something much greater than a championship the first few years of our existence, because what he's providing us is the opportunity to win multiple championships on the long run, and he has never mortgaged our future to do that, and I appreciate that about him. And that's what I'm calling out these days. I'm just saying, anybody who says this is a tank, I look at as a personal affront, a personal attack on Sam Presti, an attack on the organization, attack on the coaches, and an attack on the players. And you can say it's not, but just look it up. It is the worst word in sports. There's no worse word than tank. And so when we hear the Three Stooges over at Down to Dunk, you know, crapping on our team and talking about how bad they are, we get upset. So we stop listening to that stuff, because now we can talk back, you know. And I didn't listen to it. I promise, like I promised you, I wouldn't listen to their episode, but I did go look at the description, and the whole thing was, who will be the players in the future? Which meant, you know, they're going to take all the stock they can on Dort, SGA, and Baisley, but really they're just going to shit on the end of the bench. And that's what we hate. It's not about that. Those players need more encouragement than anybody. So we're going to sit here and we're going to encourage them. And we're going to say, we see you. We see you developing. We are not front runners. We do not believe that you need first picks to win NBA championships. We believe that you need a winning organizational mentality that starts with competing every time you go out. And that's what wins NBA championships.
Man, you said it the best right there. You said it the best. This is what we believe. We believe that Sam has his building blocks already. He has his foundation already set for the next 10 years. If you ask anybody in the NBA, you ask them, what's the most exciting point guard, shooting guard, or combination of guards that are under 23 in the league, every single NBA expert, without even fucking blinking, will say this: Oklahoma City. So all those guys that are out there saying, "Oh, we need the first round, first pick, first round. We need the first pick, second, first round, second pick." What they're recognizing is they don't think that SGA and Dort are good enough to lead us into the next generational Thunder organization, massive change. What we believe that the building blocks are already here for the Thunder. All those draft picks, all those other things are ready for Sam to use to make this team better, to make this team a dynasty in the long run. And you can ask anybody, if you rather have SGA and Dort, would you rather have SGA and Dort or anybody else as a under 23 player in the league? And I guarantee you, 9 out of 10 executives would say, we'd rather have SGA and Dort than having two top five picks in the NBA, because these guys right here are generational players. They're not just a bloop in the matrix saying, oh, look, these guys are good. No, Dort has proven that he is one of the greatest defenders in the league, or at least one of the greatest defenders in the last 15 years in the league. That is incredibly valuable. His shot has come a long way. He's added a couple moves. He has done so many things to prove that he's just not all about his defense. And we can go say the same thing about SGA. The way that SGA has been playing defense on multiple positions this year, and the way that he has consistently been showing that he deserves to be up there considered as one of the top defenders, I believe this team is already set with its foundational building blocks. All that needs to do is add other pieces to this, whether it's other veterans, whether it's other draft assets that we're able to capitalize. I believe the foundation of this team has already been set.
Right. And listen up, everybody. Let me tell you why that matters and why we are so passionate. Okay. And if you've listened to an episode prior, then you already know the answer. But the reason that it matters so much is because if you believe that, then it's time to get invested in this team. And if you don't believe that, then just, you know, people won't get invested in it. So nobody wants to get invested in a rebuild. Nobody wants to go buy a jersey for a player who's just going to get traded, you know, for an asset. So if you believe, like we believe, that this team is the core and what everything else we have is going to be adding to that core, if everything else we have is going to be adding to that core, then you can get totally behind this team. And that's what we're here to say. That's why, you know, we've kept making daily podcasts, is because we could say that over and over and over again. And we are showing you statistics. We're talking about the change in our offensive mindset. And we're talking about the transition this new team is making, so that hopefully you can watch along with us and hopefully point out things that we didn't see, because we don't think that we're experts by any means. You know, what we think is that we're really big fans who are tired of people just crapping on this team because it was to their benefit to do that. So we're just going to go ahead and call it like we see it. We started our own show. And clearly, what's become apparent to us is that far before we even anticipated, that we've already started a movement. Okay, we are the fastest growing Oklahoma City Thunder podcast for one reason. Because our listeners love hearing what we have to say. They love hearing us say, we are winners. And yes, we listen to our listeners when they approach us and they say, hey, talk about this or what about this? And I appreciate them giving us that feedback. It's important. We need it. You know, we're getting better every day. I feel in so many ways like we're just like this young team, you know, and we start over 0-0 every day. And I just appreciate everybody sticking with us as we, you know, improve and get better. And we hope that we can become as good as you deserve because of how much attention that you're giving us. And I know how valuable that is. And I really, really, really appreciate it. Well, before we go, I just wanted to give a shout out to the Waiver Wire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. These guys are awesome. They are Australian brothers who really love the game of basketball. And I love listening to their point of view. They really know the game. And they have great banter. They love to tell each other to fuck off and stuff like that. And it's great to hear. And when I hear them talk about the game, the upcoming week schedule, I really feel like they give me a good outline, and I appreciate their perspective and the way that they see the game. I appreciate what they're doing, and I appreciate them reaching out to us, and we appreciate everything about them. So thank you to the Waiver Wire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm going to provide a link in the description. You guys should check it out. It's fun. Trust me, it's fun.
Yeah, it's great stuff. And like Mark said, we really enjoy these guys. Stay tuned. We are going to most likely drop an episode with them. They're incredible basketball-minded guys. Like, this is the type of guys that we get excited about having us, having them on our show. So stay tuned for that. And we are really excited about this game tomorrow night. I think Coach is going to make some massive changes, like we've been talking about. I think our young players are going to come out ready to ball. I think this is going to be an excellent game for people to watch. If you had no plans of watching it, please make plans to watch it. Write down notes, write down questions, send them to us, message them to us. Like, whatever you do, write them down for us, because we love to answer them. We love to be called out when we make an incorrect stat line. So check our stats, do all that other stuff. We love to hear about it. We'll definitely be taking those critiques into that's stupid.
It's all good, thanks, man.
Thanks again for listening to our show. We really appreciate you guys. Again, this is the 1,000th download today that we've had, so I am incredibly excited. It's a really amazing thing to be able to say, because when Mark and I started this, our goal was to hit 1,000 before the end of the season. And now we're looking into it the first month of the season, which today, 22nd of December, was when the NBA started. And it was the first episode Mark and I dropped. So today is our month anniversary, and it is also our 1,000th download anniversary today, too. So today is a big day for us. We're super excited, and we really, really hope that you guys stay tuned for more of the Gary England Last Dorm.
Well, thanks for joining us. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we'll be back tomorrow after the game with the Clippers to tell you what we saw and what we're looking forward to on the rest of this road trip. Thanks again for making us the fastest growing Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. 1,000 downloads, and you know what? We are just getting warmed up. We really are. If you don't believe us, go back and listen to some of the other episodes, all right? Seriously, we're getting better every day, and we're ready to bring it, because our listeners have told us one thing over and over and over again: fuck tanking. Thanks for joining us. Thunder up.
Thunder fucking up.